Look at that, eh? Wow. Do you notice that I moved the chairs up much closer this morning? Because I wanted you guys to be close. And so what do? They go, the first three rows are empty. You know? I'm taking that personally. I am. I just I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this, you know? You know? Kirk's leaving. No, Kirk's getting close. Look at that. You're a man of God. I'm telling you, man. You are the real deal, Kirk. Oh, you're just putting your bag there. Okay. Oh, yeah. Figures. If you're going to move up, go in the second row, because I'm afraid of a cord going out here. Because people get close to this table. In the last facility, they were always knocking the table, and, you know, we'd lose the feed for a few minutes. So if the Holy Spirit is convicting you and you want to move closer, that's probably God, okay? Otherwise, I will trust God that, you know, what He has for you is good. What He always He's always good, isn't He? That's right, yeah. Come on in, guys. Yeah, I heard Asufu did great. I heard Dave Kitts did great. So what I'm feeling this morning is, oh, John's back. Yeah, whatever. You know, who cares? Okay. Come on, Miriam. I can't yell at my wife out there to haul everybody in, but haul them in. Oh, Allison's here. The demon of prevention has been cast out, and Allison and Sergio is here. Okay. You know, I would ask you to give them a hand as they're coming in, but then, you know, you'd all expect that. And you'd all want to come in late and thinking you'd get the same thing, you know. Come on in, guys. I want to start here. It's important stuff. Oh, what a rebellious and adulterous generation. Not adulterous. Hi, Allison. How you doing? You guys got good tans. Praise the Lord. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Allison's sitting over here, Sergio. She's right over here. Yeah. Okay, I think I got all of you in now. Are the boys going or coming? Or? Okay, let's pray. I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus, everybody you want here, God, to hear your word is here right now. And God, I know that whenever a preacher preaches under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, their personality comes through a little bit because you do use, Lord God, willing vessels. But Lord, your word, God, and I'm asking this, cannot be clouded by just opinion, God. Lord, if I got things wrong here and my opinion is jaded, shut John Council up for the sake of you speaking to all of our hearts here this morning, God. Please, God. This is good stuff tonight, to this morning, Lord God. If it can come to us as unfiltered as possible. So, Lord, I'm trusting you're going to do that by your Holy Spirit. And all of us are going to walk away from here today being so thankful, God, that you met us here today, God, in a powerful and a real way. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The greatest stories ever told, part 7. 7. We left with number 6. So now it's 7. And the subtitle's out there, How to Be Unhappy for the Rest of Your Life. You wanted to know that this morning, didn't you? You know, I hope John preaches on how to be unhappy for the rest of your life, okay? See, God heard your prayer, okay? Well, if you want to be unhappy for the rest of your life, you're going to have to deal with something called envy. Envy doesn't get talked about. Jealousy more, but envy, we don't talk about it much. Christy and I were home last night. Heather's in California. And, you know, when it's not hockey season, if I'm home and not out doing stuff on Saturday night, sometimes we like to watch a movie. So we watched Shazam, who back when I collected comics, he was the original Captain Marvel. He was Captain Marvel long before Marvel Comics ever came out. In fact, Fawcett Publications, when they came out with Captain Marvel in 1939, they felt that the character was so much like Superman that DC Comics sued Fawcett. And they won! So you didn't hear about Captain Marvel until 1971 when DC, as part of the settlement, bought the property. They brought back Captain Marvel. Well, Marvel had already had their own Captain Marvel by then, so they thought, what are we going to do? So they figured they'd, you know, well, we'll call the comic book Shazam, because that's what he says. And that was, if you look at old war movies or everything, remember Gomer Pyle? Remember Gomer Pyle? One of Gomer Pyle's favorite catchphrases was, Shazam! Okay, like, that was part of culture, okay? And there was a Saturday morning cartoon in the 60s about a genie called Shazam. Nobody knows about that, but two kids, they put the two rings together and their genie comes, what do you want me to do? Arab bald, you know, had a tail on a head. And anyway, so now this, with all the superhero movies and the billions of dollars are being made, they just call this guy Shazam now, who used to be Captain Marvel. So we watch this movie. Yeah, it's fun, okay? It's not going to hurt you. It's not weird. And, you know, if you want to watch it, it's a goofy movie. You got to suspend your brain for a little bit, like all those movies. And, but last night, you know what the real problem of the movie was? The creature, there's these seven deadly sins, okay? And these creatures are just wreaking havoc and they're killing people and it's horrible. But the creature that's at the core of it and is the key to bringing down the villain and saving the day. Spoiler alert, okay? Who cares? Just a movie. Okay? This guy's got envy in him. Envy never gets noticed. Envy's kind of in the corner, you know? You can hide envy, okay? That's a good quote. It's not Bible, but it's still good. Envy. That's counting the other person's blessings instead of your own. We got that? Envy. Counting the other person's blessings instead of your own. Now, here's another one. I'm going to give you another word that really is envy, but we use a different word. Okay? Comparison. Comparison is the thief of joy. You got that? I'm going to write down some thoughts or things to... Now, let's get into the story a little bit here. But before we do, I'm going to set up the story. And you've heard me mention this before, but I don't think I've ever put this on a slide in any of the messages I've done here or in the last church we were in. Here it comes. 2 Corinthians 2:12. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Let me use your terminology. That's a little wordy. When you do that, you're stupid. Okay? The Bible says it's stupid to do that. And boy, we all do it. And we don't know how deadly it is. God does. Okay? Here's the story. And I've actually got the, it's a long one, but we're going to read the whole thing this morning because there's things coming out. You ready? Here we go. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one has hired us. They answered, he said to them, you also go work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last were only hired for 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work in the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I give you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Now, if you don't know Jesus, or you don't consider, you know, if you got, I'll tell you something. Anybody who reads that, that does not have a, doesn't know how good God is, would approach that story and go, yeah, that's wrong. Union! We're not going to have that in our workplace. No way! Can you imagine a factory owner getting away with that today, in today's environment, you know, with rights of workers? And are you kidding me? There's no way. Okay? Everybody outside of the redemptive power and understanding of the goodness and knowledge of Christ, God, has a problem with that. Well, I love Jesus and I still have a problem with that. You think you love Jesus. You think you know Jesus. You think you know how good he is. And I'm telling you, anybody that knows Jesus who reads that goes, whoa, he still wants to do more of a work in your life. And that work is a good work. Oh, it's wonderful. Please, please. You know, the flesh says, I don't want to give in to that kind of unfairness. I don't like that. And we are still, by us saying that, we are trying to save our lives. And what does Jesus say about those that save your life? You're going to lose it. If you lose it in me, you're going to save it. Now, even as I'm saying this, this is a tough pill for everybody to swallow, but that's why we pray, because we want the Lord to illuminate his word and make it real. It's got to be beyond just head stuff. Okay? There's a miracle of the revelation of the goodness of God that needs to be done in our lives continually. Okay? Because the devil will bombard, he'll distract, he'll bring comparisons, he will lie, and oh, he's a good liar. He's so good at lying, he'll even make you doubt the most powerful word that is ever given to mankind. That's how good he is. Okay? Everyone is satisfied at the beginning here. Okay? In this story. Everyone is satisfied at the beginning. Hey, they all got work. Okay? We're going to have food on our table. Kids won't be hungry tonight. They were all happy at the beginning. The bunch that got paid last got to see the other workers who didn't work as long get paid. The bunch that were hired first, if they had gotten paid first, they would have gone away happy. Oh, that was good. I feel good. I'm strong. I got to feed my family. And they're not even thinking about the other guys. If they'd have got paid first, there'd be no problem. Okay? What are they getting stressed out for? Well, this is what comparison does, okay? Comparison overestimates what we need, okay? Comparison overestimates what we need and underestimates what we have, okay? That's what comparison does. I think it's safe for us to, when you hear that word comparison again, there's a good chance that hidden in that word comparison is the word envy, okay? It's a great test to your heart. Here's a great test of your heart. Can you be happy for others when it isn't going so well with you? Can you be happy for others when it isn't going so well for you? And from the parable, if this was today, okay, all those workers, all of them would have got paid about a denarius is about $160 for a day's work, okay? Now, all those workers who got paid $160 for 1 hour's work, if it was today, it would have been all over social media. Man, $160 an hour! Wow! That's like plumber's rate. You know, that's amazing. You know? They would have been happy. When you ignore God's goodness to you, you tend to resent God's goodness to others. Hey, what's your problem, God? Okay? We don't say it like that, but peel away the niceness of it, and that's really what's going on. How to be unhappy for the rest of your life. View your life as it compares to others. There's your recipe. You want to be unhappy for the rest of your life? Compare your life to other people. Look for injustices and hard knocks, and you'll always find them. Always! The devil will make sure you find them. Look for the goodness of God all around you, and you will find it. Okay? Hummingbirds and vultures. Okay? Heather's in California. Mitch and Amber got a hummingbird feeder out in their porch. You know, you got them here too. I see one or two or three hummingbirds a year. Outside their porch every morning, there's eight or nine of them. They're everywhere. And I mean, they're like, you know, technology. We've got a drone now that's this big and it can hover and do all kinds of, yeah, well, God's got millions of them that, you know, are run on fuel that you can't even imagine, and they can do more than your drone can do. Okay? And that intelligence is not artificial. Okay? Fantastic stuff. You got like two different, they're both birds, both can fly. You got two different birds there, about as different as you could imagine, right there, okay? I mean, when you see a hummingbird, I remember, oh wow, so cool. When you drive by a vulture, don't look, man, don't look, because they're always doing something that's really gross, you know? They are, okay, what's the difference? The vulture, he wakes up in the morning looking for death, okay? He looks for carcasses, he looks for victims of horrible circumstances, and he feeds on them. And you know what? He always finds them, always does. Vultures are not an endangered species, okay? Hummingbirds, they wake up in the morning, they're looking for the sweet nectar of new life. And they always find it. Always. You get what you go after. You never win when comparing. Can you imagine a vulture? I mean, anyway, I don't want to go there. You never win by comparing. If you do better than most, you get proud. Now you disguise it as thankfulness. Oh God, I'm so thankful. You know, yeah. If you're not doing as good as others, you get envious and you get bitter. Gratitude empowers. What does gratitude empower? Gratitude does not empower you to get cocky and think, oh, I'm so thankful, you know, like, no. Gratitude empowers you to be emotionally and powerfully capable of lifting others out of where they are. If you got Jesus, that's what's gonna be in your heart. Okay? Comparing degrades. There's a book written. I'm not going to give the author because you'd forget the author anyway. We can go searching for if you want to get the book. And the 31 Benefits of Gratitude You Didn't Know About. This is not a Christian book. This is from, and you know, if you go into the self-help department, and I don't talk about self-help, okay? But you can't totally throw that out of there because a lot of the principles in the self-help movement, they have just taken Christ out of it and they think we can help people anyway. And it's true because the principles are universal. Okay? And these are fully in line with the Word of God here. Okay? When you bring Jesus in, not only are the principles true, but when Jesus comes in, there's ability to live the principles. A lot of these people in the self-help come and they agree with it. Yeah, it's great. You know, and they say, yeah, I'm going to do this. And they can't because there's no spiritual energy or resources. Well, yeah, but I'd rather, you know, sit in front of the TV and eat ice cream all day. Or like, I'd rather, it feels good to know I'm right. And they are jerks. You know, you deal in with that long enough, you're gonna believe it. And everything you see confirms what you believe. So, you know, you never grow. The principles are true. But we're in need of a savior. All things are made new. We're a new creature in Jesus Christ. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus even said, apart from me, you could do nothing. You read every self-help book, you go to a $2,000, you know, seminar, like what, you know, these guys, gurus that go around, they fill these conference centers, and who's the big guy that's the tall guy? Tony Robbins, okay? And there's hundreds of clones. These guys walk away from a weekend, and I don't begrudge them because they're ministering to a need. It's not Jesus, but, you know, like, man, they're millionaires because people are dying to get out of there, but they don't have the power of God. Can you imagine, you know, I'd love to see a prophet walk up and he'd be dressed with jeans and a t-shirt in a Tony Robbins seminar. Excuse me, I'd like to say apart from Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. That's what he said. Continue on and walk out. That'd be the truest thing to be spoken. And I don't mean to knock those people, because there's some people that have been helped, you know? But it takes a special person, really special. I'm not special, and not too many of you are either. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's not mind over matter. So when I bring a list like this, you have Christ in you, most of you. Hopefully I'm whetting your appetite. I'm trying to sell this morning. I really am, okay? I don't know how many times I pray to God, God, please don't let me be unthankful. Don't let me be poisoned with unthankfulness. Okay, so here it comes. from 31 benefits of gratitude you didn't know about, how gratitude could change your life. Here's just a few of them, okay? Gratitude can. Not only can, but usually does. Okay? Gratitude can empower you socially, create more and better friendships, strengthen your marriage, increase your resilience to life's unexpected challenges, multiplies peace of mind, increases your decision-making abilities, increases productivity, improves sleep quality, bolsters your immune system, increases mental and physical energy. Every one of those statements, including the 31, is based on serious clinical peer-reviewed studies on all these things where there's case studies where, you know, people that were thankful and gratitude, and these were results, okay? This is not just a self-help guru. This is like medical stuff confirmed, okay? If thankfulness and gratitude could be taken in a pill form, it would be considered a wonder drug. It would, for the benefits it has on us mentally and socially and emotionally. Why do you think the Bible is filled with admonitions to be filled with praise, to rejoice always and be thankful? Because no one knows better than God how powerful gratitude and thankfulness is. In every situation, following Jesus, okay? Following Jesus and his sacrifice for us and what he's been made available to us is not about what we will get. It's about what he's already given. You can't even handle what he has for you until you can get to the place of really understanding what he has given you. And that might take him showing you how horrible your own sin is. Envy. You know, the Catholic Church called it one of the seven deadly sins. I'm not too sure it is a sin. It may not be, but I'll tell you right now, it sure short circuits what God wants to do in your life. It clouds your concept of God like you wouldn't believe. Just like it did with this parable. And that's why Jesus told this story. Grace. Here's something we need to know. Grace is not opposed to effort. Okay? It is opposed to earning. Have you got that? That thing in the vineyard wasn't them earning, okay? They all put the effort in. It's opposed to earning. Grace doesn't work off of earning. Earning is an attitude. Effort is an action. Have you got that? I deserve this! Okay? Effort doesn't even think about what it deserves. Just goes and does it. Okay? It's not the accomplishments of the apostles. It's the acts. The effort. They didn't know what the results are going to be. You know? We're going to stand up for Jesus. Where you going to get killed? Okay, whatever. You know? Man. I don't deserve this. If anybody didn't deserve to die and end the way the disciples did, it was them. Okay? But they had tasted of the goodness of God. If they had to live their lives over, they wouldn't have changed a thing. Okay? Why? Because grace is all about what I've been given. Okay? Jesus gives us the recipe for a healthy life. Gratitude. Not comparing. It's like riding a bike. You know? You learn. Okay? And remember when the first time you learned? I remember learning how to ride a bike. I was 5 years old. It was in Owen Sound. And my mom was smart in this. She had me learn on the grass because she knew I'm going to fall down a lot. You know, and I thought, why get grass? It's so bumpy and hard to put. You go around, you're not getting off this lawn until you do it. Okay, you know, and I fell and I fell and I fell. And do you remember the first time when you start? Ho, 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 baby, look at, wow, I still remember. I never had training wheels, okay? Then mom just put me out there and go, okay? And she made sure I was riding smooth without falling down. She had me go around the yard and she had me start on a step and how she did it. Man, it was really ingenious because it worked, okay? And she would not let me go on the gravel of the church parking lot where we lived next to it until I had gone around at least 5 or 6 times without falling down. But I remember going on to this, making it around the first time and this, oh baby man, I may as well have been driving a 1967 GTO with a 4-barrel carburetor. It was amazing, okay? This is awesome, you know? And it's like when you come to Christ. The bumps and bruises, you got to be crazy. You people are nuts. Come on, it's not that easy. There's no way. Life's not like that. But, you know, you keep coming back, and this crazy pastor keeps telling you, it's real. It's really real. It's really real. Okay, I'll give it a try. Pow! not always pow. Sometimes it's a month or two, but you know, you get maybe a month and you, wow, that's amazing, you know? And we get good at it. You keep coming, you know, and yeah, I got this. I got this. I know. I got Jesus. I know the word. Okay. That's the attitude I had by the age of 12. I love Google Earth. Google Earth can take you back to places of great pain. Here's a place of great pain. Okay? This is Grand Boulevard at NDG in Montreal. Over here is Summerled at the Endis Fielding. For the two blocks between Summerled and Côte Saint-Luc, I delivered the Montreal Star. Okay? I would collect, because back then you didn't have online billing, okay? And you had cards, and I had to go every Monday or Tuesday. I had to get, you know, Buck, I need your 65 cents. 65 cents for a full week, including Saturday. It was 10 cents a day, 15 cents for Saturday, okay? And we didn't publish on Sunday. Are you crazy? Come on, what's wrong with you? Anyway, so 65 cents, and the devil, in his deception, I would come and I would collect all the houses, and on Summerled, there was a variety store that had the best comic books going, and I'd blow all my money on comic books. Now, that's why you know why I know all about Captain Marvel and everything, okay? So, remember, and of course, I'd collect on my bike, because I didn't have my wagon with the Montreal Star, and I saved up money and I bought one of the first 10 speeds on the block. I got, remember Consumers Distributing? Remember them? I got my first 10 speed Consumers Distributing. $59, baby. Oh man, it was awesome, okay? And it, you know, and I'm driving this bike and I remember 5 years old. Yes! And, but you know, I don't even think about how great it is now because man, I can ride with no hands. I can switch gears. I went everywhere in that bike, okay? And I think I got it mastered. There's some principles about following God no matter how you grow, you better not lose sight of, okay? Gratitude and not comparing. And we get away from that, okay? And what you can't see in this picture is from Summerled, down here is a hill where I always used to like to speed up, you know? And like, you know, there was no bike, there's a bike path there now. Come on, you know, forget that. We didn't have that back then, okay? And I am coming down. I got my comics, okay, and I bet my bag, but I can manage, no problem, eh? And I'm just loving this bike, and I'm here we go, down, okay, here, and I'm picking up speed like I usually do when I go down to bend the gear, and then I'm right here, and when I look up, that car is right there. I'm doing probably 30, 35 miles an hour, and I look up, and there's a car there. What do you do? You crash, okay? Bang, okay? I can't walk. Oh, I can't walk. I can't walk. I broke something, okay? Comics are all over the place, you know, and I look at the car. Oh, there's a dent in the car. I'm dead. You know, like, and I've ripped my pants, and then I notice something coming out of my pants. I have gashed my leg up. You know what the fat looks like underneath your skin? You know? It's, okay, I'm not gonna gross you out. I never see anything like that. Thankfully, Mrs. Darlington lived in that house right there. Mrs. Darlington played the organ at Trinity Pentecostal Church in LaSalle. I delivered the paper to her. It was in my dad's church, but she knew who I was and I who knew she was. And I go to the door. She's not home. Her daughter's there. And this is really funny. I said, I think I need help. Okay. And she saw, first thing she said, it's okay. I was in Vietnam. I've seen worse. Oh, I needed to hear that. Thank you. I mean, I didn't think that then, but now, you know, I'm not embellishing the story. I'm just kind of like, you know, you gotta get the hospital. Oh yeah, okay. Like it looked so bad, it didn't look like it could have been stitched up. It would just, you know, gross, okay? And, I don't know, they're calling the hospital. I can't do anything, they're getting my parents, okay? Mrs. Darrington's son's got a 19, brand new, 73, 1 year old, blue Corvette. I'd never gone in a Corvette before, okay? I got rushed to the hospital in a blue Corvette. It was so cool, okay? In fact, I hardly even remembered that. That never would have happened if I just would have remembered there's stuff you can't... I had all the temptation to forget the basics, okay? Stupid. Now, on a motorcycle, it's the same thing. You forget about the basics, I mean, I could have got killed there. You're going to die on a motorcycle, okay? And you're a little more adult, and you're a little more sober. But when you're 12, you're kind of dumb, you know? And when we come to Christ, we get good at it. We get it fitting in, and we got our attitudes and everything, and you know, but that's something we can't get away from. Gratitude. Gratitude. Envy will kill you. It'll leave you unhappy for the rest of your life. And we got to be aware always. Always. We were on holiday for 2 weeks. Part of the holiday was family reunion. Okay, we went down to Hanover, south of Owen Sound. About 30 to 40 people on the Farrow side, Heather's family, they're all there. Okay, who's here? There's my nephew Spencer. There's me. I can't tell, but we had about all of us. One of the best things we did was float down this river on tubes. It was amazing. My niece Violet, I think we did it 6 times. She went down every time. Okay, she's like 8. She's like, it was really nice. I went down once because, you know, it's good. It was nice, very nice. Okay, I'm not going to mention names. Okay, at that reunion was a member of the family. Okay, a member of the family that's not a nice person. Okay, a member of the family that is single-handedly broken 2 marriages. One of his sons, there's no way that he would show up at that reunion because there's no way I'm going to be near him. Okay? And, of course, I've known him for 40 years. Not a nice person. Cruel. Every reason to believe he's been involved in some pretty awful crimes, too. He would, guys, sell his own mother for a buck. Okay? And as I'm praying about this, okay, about, you know, the guy who was born into the church and has served God all his life, me, okay, I've been in this thing since I was 5. I never went through an open rebellious part, okay? I was very hypocritical and pharisaical, but I've been in this all my life. All my life, even at my worst, there was always a desire to know God, okay? And I was doing my prayer walk yesterday. And God never put it to me like this, but God said, John, how would you feel if I take that family member and somehow he gets right with me before he goes? And he's got some real health issues. He may not make it for another year, 2 years, okay? And he's very close to my age. How would you feel, John, if he really got real and he really opened up to me and surrendered to me? Well, of course I'd rejoice. Well, John, how would you feel if for all of eternity he was rewarded as much as you have for a lifetime in me? And you know what my reaction was? I shocked myself. I said, Jesus, I would be dancing and rejoicing more than him. More than him. You know why? Because I know how good God is. He's that good that he just might pull that off. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? He doesn't owe me a thing. He doesn't owe me a thing. Okay? And I'm telling you, I don't, and I struggle with this. Christy's here. She knows, okay? I struggle with this envy comparison thing too. And I'm telling you, it's a recipe for unhappiness for the rest of your life. Okay? And I'm going to pray this morning that if you know God, he is going to reveal to you how good he is. He's going to reveal to you what he's done. And if he hasn't done that yet, he needs to do it. It could be a painful process, but I'm telling you, if there's some pain that comes and some realizations, I'm telling you right now, it's worth it. It will reap a harvest in your life, okay? But we got to stop comparing, okay? And worship and walk in an attitude of thankfulness to him. Otherwise, we're dead, okay? We're going nowhere. I'm already going nowhere. Okay, have it your way. There's thy will be done, and God says, okay, have it your way. Let's pray. God, you got to take my words, and you got to make them come alive, God. You got to make them come alive. Because they're just words without your anointing. But God, your word says that your word will not return to you void either. It's going to do something. And I'm praying, God, that the power of your word would break strongholds in lives this morning, God. I pray, God, that you would have your will in our lives, God. In the name of Jesus. And I pray that when we pray that prayer most of us know together right now, we won't be just doing it out of ritual. But God, we will do it with all our hearts as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Say that again. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And Jesus, thank you that that kingdom is wanting to rest in us. That kingdom is pressing in and wanting to reveal. Show us how to take the barriers away. Show us, Lord God, and assert your lordship in Christ Church and assert it in our lives, in our families and jobs and finances and dreams and futures, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Man, it's good to be home.